I love you. Thank you. You're amazing. I can't think of anyone greater. I hate you. Is this all you can do? You're worthless. You're the sorriest people I know. Words, they're invisible, right? You can't see them. But the damage they can do, or the good they can do, depends on how we say them. It depends on what we say. Today, we're going to talk about our words. We're going to talk about the things we say. We're going to talk about words that we could classify as careless words. And my prayer is today that these careless words will never come out of our mouth again. Now that's a tall task. But at the same time, the Bible is full of warnings about our speech. I'm going to say to Grayson, man, you did a great job, buddy. As his first time reading Scripture. And he came up and he read to us from the Old Testament book about words that we should not associate with these type of things and people. And then of course, Johnny, who does a great job with everything he does, he came and he read to us from James 3, 1 through 12, that talks about the dangers of the tongue. Do you know a broken bone can oftentimes heal quicker than a broken spirit? Think about that. Tad will tell you it takes a little bit to heal sometimes a broken bone. But broken spirits, they can last forever. A bruise, it may fade faster than a wound caused by speech. When I talk about abuse from time to time, when I discuss that in a counseling setting, sometimes you discuss physical abuse that may have happened in the past with someone, and those physical abusive moments can leave bruises and they can leave scars, but you would see them. You'd be able to see them on the body, but it's those abusive words, those moments of abusive speech, that you can't see those scars, but do not kid yourself, they leave scars. Scars on the heart, scars down to the soul. You see, careless words, talking about damage, careless words can destroy a marriage. Careless words can split a church. Careless words can crush a child. Careless words ruin friendships. Careless words discourage souls. Careless words can lead to someone pushing further and further away from God. Now let me say from the outset of this, don't let anyone keep you away from God. Don't let any words, any hurt, any moments, fight through those times. And understand that our God, He's the one that's going to say, I love you. He's the one that's going to be thankful that you chose Him. He's the one that's going to think how special you are that He sent His own Son to die for you. He's not going to speak these awful words. But the reality is, churches are full of people that have walked away because somebody said some careless words. And yet many people treat words like they are harmless. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, they hurt too. They hurt to the soul. You see, when the Bible talks about words and talks about speech, it does not treat speech like it's harmless. In fact, in James, we're reminded there that every beast on the earth can be tamed. Lions can be tamed. Tigers can be tamed. Killer whales, I've seen it, have been tamed. But no man can tame the tongue. You see, that means it takes help, right? It takes somebody to overtake our speech, to overtake our heart, to overtake our mind, and overtake these words. God created everything we know by speaking. Words are important. Jesus calmed storms with words. Lives are changed by the living Word of God. But unfortunately, Satan also knows how important and devastating words are. Satan uses words to tell lies, to spread gossip, to slander, to mock, to divide, to manipulate, and other types of careless speech. You see, in the Bible we're reminded what comes out of our mouths reveals what's in our hearts. Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Have you ever been around people that just, when you are in their presence, they lift you up with their words? They're encouragers. They're people you just want to be around. Let me tell you, that person has a great heart. But on the contrary, when you're around people that are negative, that are miserable, that are tearing you and everybody else down and hate that the sun is up, hate that the sun is down, hate that it's raining, hate that it's not raining, all those things, their heart is not very good. Careless words are never truly careless. You see, in fact, careless words that are spread, that are said, they show something deeper. So today, let's study it. Let's talk about it. Let's understand that words do matter. And let's learn some things based on the Word of God. Number one, let's see this, that careless words reveal a careless heart. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, remember, Ecclesiastes is a book written by Solomon who, yes, he made a lot of foolish decisions, but he at one time was given that miraculous wisdom, right? The wisdom from God. And so he wrote a lot of good words. Now, these words are inspired, and so he reminds us in Ecclesiastes from a very wise man, in Ecclesiastes 10 verse 12, wise words bring approval, but fools are destroyed by their own words. You see, there's a contrast in that verse. Wise words bring approval, but fools are destroyed by their own words. That means wise words bring favor, but foolish words bring destruction. I don't want to be around somebody that tears me down all the time, do you? Nobody wants that. I want to be around people that are encouraging. I want to be around people that, even when you're at a low state, They will say something to build you up. I'm my own worst critic. You know, and I may feel like I have failed something, I have done something, and then somebody will come up and say, you know, those words really touched me. It's like, first of all, it's God, right? But you don't know how much those words keep me going. What if somebody comes up to you all the time and just talks about how awful things are? Talks about how awful you are. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to avoid that person. You see, when you and I are those type people, nobody wants to be around us. And it's not necessarily a word problem because it's really a heart problem. The fool is destroyed by his own mouth. Think about that. You want to sound foolish? You want to look foolish? You want people to know you're foolish? Then talk foolishly. There are a lot of folks that spend their lives blaming things. Blaming circumstances. You know, I'm not going to go to church there because so-and-so didn't smile at me on the 23rd day of the second month of whatever year. And they're keeping what we call receipts, right? Blaming it on circumstances. They didn't say hey to me. They didn't say, you look great today. Glad you're here. Whatever. People spend their lives blaming things. Circumstances, blaming it on my upbringing. You know, this is the way I was raised. This is just the way I am. I'm going to talk like this because I was taught like this too. Blame it on stress. You know, I'm having a bad day. Listen, folks, we're all stressed. In fact, there are studies that show that if you were to take the stress that we're under in 2026 and put it in the 1950s or 40s, everybody would be clinically at a level that needs help. That's how much stress we're all under today. So can we really let circumstances, can we really let attitudes, upbringing, stress, other people, those things dictate our words and use it to say, hey, this is the way I am? No. No, because we have hearts that ought to belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus said a good person, Luke 6:45, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. Don't you like that? A good person produces good things out of the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury, you got it, of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Good things, good treasury, good heart. Evil things, evil treasury, evil heart. What's flowing out of here represents here. A bitter heart produces bitter speech. A prideful heart produces arrogant speech. An angry heart produces explosive speech. A selfish heart produces hurtful speech. You know, we can learn a great deal about someone just by listening to how they speak. It doesn't take very long, does it, to be around someone to know who their heart belongs to? Because eventually they're going to talk. They're going to speak. If you encounter somebody today out of church, not in the church, I guarantee you we're going to do this the right way. But you may encounter some fellow that's been married for some time, say, hey, you married? They say, yeah, and it's a bitter, she's this, she's that, she's blah, 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 everything else. You know a lot about somebody by the way they talk about their spouse. FYI, when I talk about the spouse, and I talk about in counseling, when I talk about husbands and wives and what Paul laid out, and I think it's ironic that God chose Paul, who was not married, to talk about husbands and wives and the way they treat each other. But all that to say, when Paul lays that out there in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and he goes into chapter 6, he talks about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So guess what? He's likening the church as the bride of Christ to our own bride's husbands. You think Christ went around tearing down His bride? You think His speech went and tore her down or tore them down? No! That's part of who we are. If we're going to treat our spouse, men, the way Christ treated the church, we talk good about them. What about elders? You know, when I was thinking about this, I was going to say, every perfect elder stand up, and then I think, I've got to go sit down real quick. So I'm not going to say that. Because none of us are perfect. We're going to make mistakes. And, you know, I would love to tell you we're going to shepherd this flock perfectly. But the reality is we're not. But it's real easy sometimes to talk about how the elders aren't this and the elders aren't that. Or what when you encounter somebody and they run their coworkers down all the time. You ever met that person that has a problem with their spouse, has a problem with their church, has a problem with their coworkers, has a problem with the gas station attendant, has a problem with the person at Walmart? Guess what? Eventually, they need to realize they are the problem. I'd love to tell you your waiters and waitresses are going to be phenomenal every time you go to eat. They are not. How about this? Set the tone. It's just something that I started some time ago. Set the tone by when you encounter them, ask them their name and say, hey, we're going to say a prayer in a minute. Is there something I can pray for you for? It'll change your service. It'll make them smile. And most of the time, they're going to tell you something they need to be praying for. You need to be praying for. Eventually, the mouth, it tells us all we need to know about the heart. Corrupt speech. The Bible talks about corrupt speech and corrupt communication. It will reveal a spiritual problem that is beneath the surface. The issue is not merely the tongue. The issue is also the heart that is controlling the tongue. You know, the Bible also reminds us that careless words can cause deep damage. There are a lot of folks that underestimate the power of speech. Scripture does not underestimate it. The proverb writer said in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Words can produce life. The tongue can produce life, according to the proverb writer. You know how you do that? By giving encouragement. Listen, I joke with, y'all joke with me and I joke with you and I love that and I love relationship. But let me say, you know, don't go up to someone who is maybe to speak or trying to talk or trying to lead a prayer or do something for the first time and criticize them. You know, if you need to do something, if you need to talk to them, pull them aside, take them to eat, do something, love them, and gently tell them. You know, but all, you know, hey, you know, man, it's just, you can tear somebody's spirit completely down. We need words of encouragement. Barnabas, son of encouragement. We need words that build up. We don't need words that tear down. How do you produce life? You go up to some child, some teenager who's trying their best. They give a speech or they lead a song or they do something. You go up to them, get on their level, squat down with them, get on their level, and you look them in the eyes and tell them how great they did. They're going to walk away with their thinking that they are 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Because words bring life. If they're words of encouragement, if they're words of healing, if they're words of truth, if they're words of comfort, if they're words of conviction, those words bring and lead to life. But which words bring and produce and lead to death. Words of discouragement. Words of humiliation. Know your surroundings. Man, I tell people, everywhere I go, I'm going to have fun. Now, it's going to be Christ-like fun, but I'm going to laugh. Life is too short not to. I'm going to cut up. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to do that. But read the surroundings. If you are being sarcastic and y'all are kind of cutting each other or doing these things, and you start seeing, as the Bible says, their countenance fall, pick up on that. Don't humiliate people. It's fun to joke and it's fun to this and that, but sometimes those words really hurt. You want to bring death? Speak a bunch of words and cause division. Speak bitterness. Speak despair. The sky's always falling. Poor, poor, pitiful me. You see, some people are still carrying wounds from words that were spoken decades ago. Now listen to me. If you are carrying that, go find the person and make it right. That's biblical. If you are carrying words that somebody spoke to you from decades ago and you're holding on to it, find that person, love them enough to say, hey, can we talk this through? Chances are they don't even know. But the reality is, some things that may have been said to you in your past, in your childhood, in a broken marriage, those words cause deep wounds. A child will never forget. You'll never amount to anything. Why can't you be more like your brother or Johnny down the street? You make me so mad. I wish sometimes you had never been born. That will last with a child forever. A husband or wife never forgets certain cruel phrases or statements that are spoken in anger. Why does that happen? Why are we in a get-even society so much so that if something makes us mad in our husband-wife relationship, we want to say things that will cut them to the core? That is our spouse. They are also part of us. Why would we do that? Churches have literally split over careless words that cause division. Friendships have died because someone would not control their tongue. James 3, 5, and 6. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire, get this, by hell itself. I'm not an expert on fire. I'll leave that to Justin and his wonderful lessons he teaches us. But I do know this, if there's a lot of dry land and it hasn't had any rain, a tiny spark can blaze thousands of acres. One sentence, one rumor. How about this? One post online. One hateful comment. One sarcastic attack. One moment of anger. All these one moments, these one times, They can destroy years of trust. Let me say this. Gossip is never little. Oh, it's just a little gossip. It's never little. I think gossip's the most committed sin in the world. I don't have any stats to back that up. That's just me coming to deductive reasoning. It's committed all the time. And people can excuse gossip because sometimes it can even sound religious. You know, so-and-so over there, they're doing this and they're doing that. And they, you know, they did this and they did that. Oh, we need to pray for them. Or how about this one? They're this and they're that and they're this and they're that. Bless their hearts. God hates divisive speech. I chose my words very carefully there. Okay, let me say it again. God hates divisive speech. You want me to prove that? Listen to it. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things He detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. You see, that's serious. That ought to get our attention, right? God didn't say these seven things, this one that I'm talking about today, this speech part, it's an inconvenience, but I can tolerate. He didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, it's unfortunate when somebody does that. He said, it's abomination level with me. Leads us to point number three. Careless words will eventually consume us. Ecclesiastes, the writer said, the lips of a fool, guess what? Consume him. Sinful speech not only hurts others, it can destroy the person that is saying it. People who constantly speak negativity, bitterness, anger, vulgarity, criticism, gossip, eventually, you know what they're doing? Poisoning their own souls. Have you ever been around somebody that seems angry all the time? You know why? Because their speech has shaped their spirit. The more bitterness they speak, the more bitterness they become. That can't be us. Wouldn't it be terrible for somebody to say, oh, so-and-so goes there? He's mad all the time? That speaks hatred all the time? That speaks vulgarity all the time? That speaks bitterness all the time? They go to the Isaiah City Church of Christ. Guess what? I'm not going there because I know how they are. Now listen, all of us are sinners. But how are we conducting ourselves when we leave out of the presence of one another and the presence of God? You never leave the presence of God, but sometimes we think we do. When we dismiss, we think, okay, I've dismissed God for a while. Now I'm going to go be a different person. No, that's not what God expects of us. Words affect spiritual life. You want to hear a BCV of that? Matthew 12, 36 through 37. Jesus Christ's words. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Terry didn't say that. Jesus Christ did. What he said is unrepented, unwashed, idle words will condemn us. That should stop every one of us today in our tracks. You see, See, we live in a culture that says, words don't matter. And listen, politically, I know there is rhetoric spoken on both sides of the fence, but I heard something this morning from Montgomery, Alabama. As I'm trying to be in a spiritual mindset, they spoke, and again, if you don't like our president, that's one thing. But the words that they say about him, oh, by the way, today he's also trying to lead a charge to rededicate us as one nation under God. Again, I'm not saying this about him. I'm not speaking, but the words that were uttered about him that I heard in front of thousands of people, that should never be uttered about anyone. And this isn't a political lesson. This is just us being decent human beings and Christians. Culture says words don't matter. We call anybody whatever we want to. And then people go and shoot people and kill people. God says, words do matter. They matter enough that you're going to be judged by them. Social media, it's amplified it. You know why? Because people get big and bad behind computer screens. People now will say online that they would never have agreed to saying to somebody face to face. Mockery. That's just become entertainment. Cruelty has become comedy. When did it become popular? And I don't watch these filthy things, okay? But I'm not under a rock and I hear about things that happen. When did roasts become popular? Why is it a popular thing to around somebody and just tear them down? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, to be honest with you. Sarcasm it's become somebody's personality. That's who they are. Going to cut people, be sarcastic, tear them down. But disciples of Christ, we're called to speak differently. And it leads me to the last point today. Christians, we must use words that heal. The Christian should sound different from the world. Got to. We must. Ephesians 4:29, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. I'm going to read that verse one more time. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Our words, according to this verse, according to Paul, according to the Holy Spirit, ought to be words that build others up. Our words ought to be words that strengthen other people. Our words ought to be words that encourage, that restore, that comfort, that teach, that guide people toward Jesus Christ. The world, they will use anything they can say to tear others down. But we as Christians, we ought to be building them up. So today, I'm just going to leave you with these few things. Before you speak, and listen, I am a nervous speaker. If there is awkward silence, I feel like I need to say something because I just feel like... And sometimes I will speak and not think, and I'm just trying to bridge a gap and trying to bridge... And listen, in counseling they told us, ask the question and let them answer. Whoa, that's hard for me. Especially if there's awkward silence for like 30 seconds. So I have to work on this. So Terry and everyone else, before you speak, ask the question to yourself, is this what I'm about to say true? Is what I'm about to say necessary? Think about that. There are things that aggravate the fire out of me, and I'm sure they do you too. But I don't need to necessarily say them. Before you speak, ask yourself, is what I'm about to say loving? Is what I'm about to say wise? So what I'm about to say is going to bring honor to Jesus Christ. Not every thought deserves to be a spoken sentence. Some things should die in the mind before reaching the mouth or the computer screen. Sometimes the most spiritual thing we say is nothing at all. Not every offense needs a response. Not every opinion needs a microphone. There were times that Jesus Christ Himself remained silent at moments when silence honored the Father more than speech would. Our words, they're planting something every day. Think about that. We're either planting healing or we're planting hurting. We're planting encouraging or we're planting crushing. We're either guiding people toward Christ or driving people away from Him. So the question I have now, as we get ready to close and extend an invitation, are we allowing God to guard our mouth, to soften our heart? Are we seeking forgiveness where we need to seek forgiveness from? Are we allowing God to make our speech holy? Again, careless words can have a lasting damage. But surrendered words can become instruments of God's amazing grace. I've told this story a lot of times. I'm going to try to tell it today. And listen, I'm not saying every one of you are very kind to me, even the ones that joke about how long I preach. But there was a time from this pulpit when I was 16 years old, I preached what I thought was a horrible sermon. See, I preached a sermon when I was 16 for the first time and had it well rehearsed. Somebody came forward as like, you know, getting a hit in your first major league at bat, right? And I thought, I'm the greatest preacher on the planet. Again, I was 16 years old. Well, the next one, I was humbled. I didn't prepare as much. I didn't think I needed to. I literally shook my head from the pulpit like, I don't even know what I'm teaching anymore, if it's true or if it's false or what. It was horrible. And I sat there and I remember thinking, as soon as on a Sunday night, as soon as the amen is over, I'm leaving as fast as I can so people will not jeopardize their soul and tell me I did a good job. It would have been very easy for anybody to say, you did a horrible job. That was terrible. I know I did. It could have had a long-lasting effect. A lot of people spoke good words to me. But I'll never forget Sister Bonnie Harrison giving me a phone call Sister Bonnie wasn't there. She just called people. And somewhere along the way, she probably had a conversation, and he's a little bit discouraged right now. And so she called me from her house as she was a shut-in. And she said, "Don't you give up. I'm here today in large part because of that phone call. Think about what words can do. Today, who controls your mouth? Have you confessed with the mouth Jesus Christ? Have you been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Or do you need to respond publicly? Or do you need to respond at your seat? Or do you need to go to find somebody and tell them you're sorry? Do you need to find an elder? Whatever it may be, you're invited. Jason's going to lead us in a song to come, respond, and let's change things. You can do it right now together.